Hello, everybody. This is Jules, and welcome back to So This Is Love. When I started this podcast, it was intended to be a limited series, but the overwhelming support in the first season impelled me to continue this work. It has been a beautiful journey collecting and sharing these stories, and for that, I thank all of my guests and listeners for getting us to where we are. Do ensure to listen to the end of the episode to get details on how you can support this podcast. Remember, you can find us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. So This Is Love is a space where people can relate to one another, learn from one another, and find a sense of belonging. Enjoy! Welcome to So This Is Love, a podcast about love, the loss of love, heartbreak, and the meeting of self. We share stories on how the relationships we once had teach us about who we are and define who we become. And maybe through these stories, we can answer that age-old question. Is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? So, this is love. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of So This Is Love. It's a cold and gray, rainy morning here in Nairobi, just like I like it. This is my kind of weather, guys. I really, really love this kind of weather where it's not too hot and it's not too cold, and I can still layer on my jackets and come in with my boots. You know, that's my kind of style. And it's just, this is the perfect time to be listening and to be recording this podcast, because we're just sitting here with our warm cup mugs of hot chocolate and hot water. And yeah, we're ready to go. If this is your first time on this podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. Today's conversation is very special. I know I say this all the time, but this one is also really special. You know why? Because we're talking about a different kind of relationship that other than what So This Is Love is known for. So This Is Love mostly targets relationships, romantic relationships, but I decided for season two to expand the conversations around all other types of relationships that influence us and kind of contribute to who we are in our lives. You know what I mean? And today is that kind of conversation. I am joined by the beautiful Allison, not her real name, and she's here to talk to us about a relationship with a group of friends that she says redefined to her what she regarded as friendship. This is a friendship that was fostered in her university days, that lasted around 4 years with her group of friends, or a group of four. And I can relate to that because I've been in a group of four friends since university. I can thoroughly relate to that. If you guys don't know, if you don't know, you don't know. But if you know, you know. So when she came to me and told me, oh, I want to share this story, I'm like, girl, I understand group dynamics. I get it. Please come and share. There was some loss that she will be talking about in the friendship that affected her deeply. Guys, I just want to tell you guys to say something about friendships. I think friendships are such a... I know a lot of people focus a lot on love and romantic connections in their lives, but there's a place that friendships take in our lives that's so, 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 so important. Friendships can really be the key to where the direction your life is going to take. So the people you keep around you other than your romantic partner, because even with romantic partners, if the base is not friendship, usually there's a bit of a struggle. So the value of friendship in our lives, even to our mental well-being, is like top there. So, you know, I'm happy that we have people who are coming to talk about this. Allison.
Hi, Jules. How are you doing?
Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited.
Yes. So you're here to talk to us about your friendship with your group of friends.
Sure.
And I want to say Allison and Maggie, also not her real name, because Maggie in the group was your best friend.
Yes.
But there was also Linda and Ruth, also pseudonyms, not their real names. And you are a group of four girls.
Sure.
In university.
Yes.
Right? So I want you to take me back to the beginning. I know there's a bit of a prelude to before the friendship. Could you share that with us today?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Julia, for having me in this podcast. I'm really excited. I really listen to this. So This Is Love. And being here to share my story, I feel like, wow, it's a good moment for me. So Before I begin talking about my story, about my friendship with my friends, I think I'll have to go back to before joining uni. I was in a high school whereby I did not make a lot of friends. I know people said, like, this is my friend from high school. For me, I cannot count and say this is my friend from high school. I think those were one of the worst days of my life. I had lost my mother from as I was beginning high school, meaning I was in a traumatic experience. And trying to make friendship was really hard for me because I felt people never understood where I was coming from. And trying to explain to people that, oh, my mother died. I felt like maybe it was a burden and I wanted to keep it to myself, such that I never made any meaningful connections when I was in high school. And now when coming to campus, I had a goal. I want to make meaningful connection. I want to have friends, maybe who can be my sisters.
Mm.
Yes. So let's get back to uni. Now, when our friendship started, I remember our friendship started on the first day of school. We went for audition and all of us are seated there. And weirdly, all of us were gossiping. We were like, hey, can you see that person? Can you do this and that? How are you feeling about law school? What brought you to law school and everything? And I think that was among like the best part of it. And all of us were really talkative. I'm a loud person, if you know me personally. I really love talking. And so were the other girls. It was like, we are talking. We don't mind, like, we don't have not known each other from before and everything. So this was the first time saying, like, we are making friends. Mm-hmm. And let's keep this connection started and everything. And the best part of it is that they also felt the same way. It was not like we are talking now and forget about each other the next moment. So from there on, we became friends. We used to do everything together. I remember these were the first.
How did that feel for you, actually? Now that you're coming from high school, not having friends, and feeling like, oh, it's day one, and it looks like I'm making some meaningful connections already.
For me, I felt like that was the first step of acceptance. We can make friends. I was really happy about that. And it felt like I'm really changing. I was really in a dark point whereby I never wanted to open up and make friends, but this time I'm trying to spread my wings and have more friends. And that was really important for me. And I really, really was excited about it. And the best thing about this friendship, you know, campus is like we are eating together, studying together, sleeping together, talking about boys together. Actually, this was whereby we really talked about a lot of boys together. Yeah, it was. We really talked about, I like that one, I don't like that one, and how are you feeling? Actually, among this friendship of ours, I think it was the first time in my life we could openly talk about sex. You were there saying like, okay, this is how you do it, this is not how you do it, please make sure you have a contraceptive, don't mess on this. Huh? Another thing that brought us to bonding is that most of us came from broken families whereby we had daddy issues. So in case you complained about your parent or complained about something, it was accepted. It was not something like, oh, my daddy doesn't do that. It was like, my daddy does that. Mm. And this is what I do to prevent that. And I felt like this was a really, really new friendship for me because you are open. You're able to share everything that you do have, everything like from your innermost secret. You could not hide it from other people. It was like, I'm bringing my soul bare and I want to share it with you because I feel accepted in this dynamic. So, as you know, in a group of four friends, there are people who are close and those who are not close. And we were divided into two. There was Alison and Maggie. They were friends. Then Linda and Ruth were friends, such that we would talk more details with the others. In as much as we shared it in the group or something, there was that thing like, okay, this is my best friend. I want to tell her something and I can clearly label her as my best friend without everyone else feeling bad about it. And I think that was really nice because in as much as you're four, there are things you just can't share with others because there's always one who is judgmental. There's always one who doesn't like this or doesn't like that or has not experienced her. Also, another redefining thing that made Alison and Maggie to be friends.
Alison being you?
Yes, was because both of us had lost our mothers. So we had a defining point in our lives such that when I would call her and tell her, oh, I miss my mother, she would be like, oh, she would help me through it. Of which in as much as I would try to share with my other friends, I don't think they would understand. In as much as they would, I don't think you can understand until you lose someone.
Mm. especially a mother. I was having this conversation day before yesterday with IRIP, the podcast I'm on, and one of the guests we had was talking about loss, and they were saying when you lose your father, it's hard, it's painful, but the loss of a mother is, you know, it's indescribable. It hits you on so many levels, especially as a woman.
Yeah, that I can do agree with, because actually I was telling someone else a few days ago, losing a mother creates a hole in your heart that no one will be able to fill. In as much as you have friends, you have motherly figures, it's a hole that no one can ever fill.
Mm.
And on the other hand, in this group, myself, Alison, and Maggie, we used to connect so much because we used to avoid conversation regarding mothers. Linda and Ruth really used to talk about their mothers. Let me call my mother. Let me do this to my mother. And we felt like that used to put us at a point of being uncomfortable. So I think that also helped us bond. And that's what brought us together. So in this girl group, we did everything girl groups do. We used to have a lot of sleepovers.
Oh.
Yeah, just we'd go and do a movie. We would come, cook at our friend's place, do this and that, go for walks, do Instagram photos, and just try to live and as girls. Such that if you saw Alison somewhere, you would know the rest of the three of them were somewhere. If you saw the other two or somewhere, you'd know like all the others are somewhere. In as much as we try to say that we are not always together, probably we were always together. We really did study together because all of us, we were very ambitious young ladies.
Mm.
All of us were saying we want to be judges in this Kenya and everything. Huh? And so we were like, we are helping each other study. If you don't understand, come, I'll help you. If something is going on in school, I'll really help you to achieve that. And it was a really nice moment. If I remember those days, we would go, you know, to the malls, do something like, are you free over the weekend? Let's go to the mall and hang out. I'm trying to do my nails. Can you come and help me or something of that sort? I even think that is the friendship that we helped each other learn how to do makeup, learn to do our hairs and something of that sort.
So did you guys all live off campus? Because in my group of friends, which is, this is giving me a lot of flashbacks, I'm relating a lot, we all lived like off campus. So this going to cook in somebody's house, it wasn't going to your mom's house. We all had our little cute, you know, bed sitters and one bedroom flats off of campus.
Yeah, we all lived outside school, but two of us lived at a hostel and two of us lived at their own small houses.
Okay.
So we could not sleep over at the hostels, but we would go to sleep over at the people who had their houses. I think the best part about this friendship I felt was that we were open and ready to try things together.
Mm.
We had not taken alcohol before we came to uni. So we were like, okay, we are buying a bottle of alcohol and we are coming to try it together.
Yeah, same. I actually started drinking when I was like 19. I didn't try alcohol when I was younger at all.
Yeah, plus I feel all of us came from conservative families where, but you just couldn't be drinking around. So in uni, we decided, this day we decided, you know what, you're buying a Smirnoff and we are coming to drink it.
To try.
We are trying.
That's good. I'm happy you did that with your girlfriends. The first time I felt a bit tipsy ever in my life was with a boy. And he took me to some random bar in Langata Prison. And I remember just sitting in this dingy place. And I looked up at the sky. I drank one drink. One, I think it was a Red Ice, you know, those days. And I was like, Kai, am I drunk? Like, this is how you feel, like, you know. And I was like, where are my friends? Because I'm here with this man. Well, he's not a man. He was my schoolmate, but he was older. Oh, gosh. I'm happy you had that with your friends.
That was around our first year of uni and our second year. It was really nice. Let me tell you, Julia, we clubbed in this Nairobi. If anyone knew us, they would be like, call them. They'll still come. We were ready for the party. And the best thing is that all of us really understood each other and our parents used to finance us. So for us, money was not the problem. Where was the problem? We just wanted to be told, are you coming? Yes, we are, and everything. In as much as we were partying, I felt that we were emotionally connected to each other. We would turn up for events. If we had issues at our home or an event, I would invite them, and similarly. So it was kind of a soul sister something. We are friends. We are like sisters, but not blood. Yeah, those were hashtags.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sisterhood. Sometimes you choose your family.
Yeah, sure. And I think at that point, I thought that was my family. I thought these were the people I want to be with. And especially at that point, that's when we started watching Over 25. Yeah, so we were really watching and listening to it. We are trying to hear what you people were saying. I remember one episode about men and everything. I remember when you're starting episodes were more about relationships. That's where I used to get our relationship advice. Yeah, but it was a really nice moment. And at least they brought about things about me that I didn't know I have. I never knew I used to be an extrovert until I met them or I became so loud with them. I was only loud in formal places where I'm required to, but I became extrovert, making friends, trying to know each other, supporting each other, even talking to new people and everything, always volunteering and doing something of that sort. They also helped me know about fighting for my space at the table. I remember when I was in around second year of uni, they were like, Alison, you know what? You're going to run for a seat in our school and you are going to win this. And they really supported me. I never knew I could be a leader. And through their support, I was able to become a leader. And it was one of the best moments because it really made me know, oh, you can be this. And it was really redefining for me.
Mm-hmm.
In as much, I thought that these were the friends that I would die with. I thought this was our small sisterhood that whereby in the next years we'll be like, oh, we met in uni, we are still family and everything. But around the end of the second year in uni, something tragic happened. One of our friends, that is Maggie, she became ill. I remember she got admitted in hospital and it was quite redefined everything in that friendship. I thought I had found a sisterhood, but this moment really redefined everything. As you remember what I'd stated at the beginning, that Maggie was my best friend because we shared a lot in common. So when she got sick, I told the other girls, okay, hey, Maggie is sick. Can we go to see her in hospital and know about what is happening and know when she'll be released or discharged? And to my amazement, they told me that they were busy and they could not make it during that day. So we decided to reschedule until when they were not busy. I also felt like going with them was better for me because if I went alone, probably I'd be weak or even overthink about the situation. Little did I know the postponing was a running out of time because by the time we were getting to the hospital, our friend was already in ICU. She could not talk to you. So you could just talk to her, not knowing if she could hear you or not. So till this day, I really do blame myself about that. I feel like as a good friend, as a best friend, I should not have waited for others. I should have gone when I had a chance to talk to her. And after 2 days after seeing her, she passed away. And she passed away on her birthday. Birthday that we had prepared. It was really sad.
I'm sorry about that. do you mind me asking what she was ailing from? If it's not too personal, you can share.
She was ailing from pneumonia. She got ill on Monday. Tuesday she was okay. Wednesday she went to the ICU. Thursday she was in ICU. Friday she died. It was a short death. It was something you could not see it coming. It was something that no one prepares you for. It's just, it came and bumped you and it was a lot to take in at that moment.
Mm.
Yes. But I remember at this point, myself having lost another person in my life, it was really difficult for me, especially losing a friend, a younger person. In my head, I always thought, young people don't die. But I think at that point, I also felt like I could die. Because you see someone was okay the other week, but did they get ill, Friday they are done. It was really difficult. And I think this is where things started changing in our friendship dynamic. Because I had already mourned before. I knew how mourning was. I know the process of grief and everything, but for them they had not lost a person who was so close to their heart. that is Linda and Ruth. So I remember after the burial, I wanted us to talk out, how do you feel? Let's support each other and everything. And they'll tell me that's God's will. What is God's will? You know, if you've lost someone, you know, you're really mad at God at that point, because if it was his will, this person was so young to die.
Yeah.
Why would he take someone to die and just leave you? He should have given you an explanation before and everything. But for them, it was not huge. Or maybe I never understood their way of grief. Because for me, my grief is talking about situations. How do you feel? How are you coping? Is everything okay with you? But I could not talk this with them. For them, it was God's will, and they never wanted to talk about it. Remember, they were best friends, and now my best friend is gone. So you feel like you have lost a part of you, in as much as you're still in a part of other people. And I think that's when everything started coming down slowly. I felt like maybe when we were with Maggie, we were able to stand still and be regarded as half of the group. But now when a quarter of you is gone and you're left by yourself, it becomes really hard. And it was a really sad moment. You remember that all of us were a quarter to a friendship, but also we carried both of us were coming in 2-2. So this was your supporting force, whereby if I said anything, I knew my friend would have my back.
Mm.
If they said anything, their friend would have their back. But now you have lost someone who is always having your back. And now you're grieving differently, because for you, you're grieving a best friend. For them, maybe they're grieving a close friend, of which that is totally different. And also, it meant that you've lost a partner that you would tell so many other things, of which it was really, really difficult for me. I remember I used to have nightmares. I used to have a lot going on, because it was like losing a part of you that you know you can never get back. And that actually made me start going to therapy, because I needed to know, to understand why grief happens and how should you handle it as a person. So back to the friendship, now we are three of us. And now, as you can expect, since they're best friends, I always felt like I'm at that wheel, because probably they have their inner jokes.
Mm.
They have their own explanations to life. They have different things. And they would not even always tag me along. I felt it was really different, because when we were four, we were always tagging each other along. Okay, we are going to the mall. We are going to the club. We are doing this and that. But now it has changed. You cannot tell. We cannot go together because you say you prefer this. And for me, I prefer that. And since I have no backing, it's either I go with whatever you've decided or I just am left alone. To the point that since I used to defer a lot, it became to a point that I'm always left out. We cannot come with Alison because she thinks that this is not for her, or maybe she doesn't like that. And I felt that was really hard for me, because I thought these were the people I was supposed to grow old with. And I thought maybe we would hold our hands together and see this grief through. And probably after that, maybe we would come out stronger and even closer than we ever thought about. But that was totally different for us. So after that, that's when COVID hit and everyone is home. And there were a lot of issues going on. Anxiety, there was uncertainty, and you never knew what was happening in the next time. And since all of us are at our home, that was when the friendship crack began to widen and widen, because I lived far from them. So they would always hang out together and do things together. And for me, I'm here alone. I feel each time I try to text them, why didn't you include me in this plan or something? They're like, you're coming from far. You cannot come. We thought it would be expensive for you to come from this place to our place, of which for me, I felt it was really hard for me, because I thought you are my friends. We should be doing this together. And since I've lost a best friend, I thought you should be the people understanding me. And that really made me feel bad. And I really cried a lot, because you are my friends. You should be here with me and I should be there with you. And as you remember, as I had started, I see that I had difficulties in making friendship at the beginning, at my high school level. So I thought this was like, we are doing well. Then we get to this point, two people are running away from me.
Mm.
I was the lady who was always giving them a chance. Okay, you have left me out, but remember next time to invite me. It's okay. Do this for me, do that for me. To a point I felt like maybe I was forcing issues. And I really, really hated that. But my heart was like, Allison, these are the only friends that you do have. So you better fight for this. And after COVID, I remember now we are back to school. Things are resuming normally and everything. And we are trying to adjust and be friends again since now we are more physically available for each other. But that was really hard. We no longer had sleepovers. We were no longer studying together. It was like we were different from the people who went home, from the people who lost a friend, to the people who were coming back. I wanted to give them a chance and tell them like, okay, I know you've been avoiding me, you've been doing your things together, but now I feel like maybe we should talk our things out and straighten things out. To a point I felt like maybe Maggie was the glue that was holding us together. If she was there, maybe things would have been normal.
Mm.
But now she left and maybe the glue was done. That really made me feel bad and question myself. Am I really a good friend? Am I a bad person or why are people avoiding me? Am I that different? And from there, we really decided like we tried doing dates and everything, but if things were different because they are two, they were two against one. So even though we go for dates, they would talk in their small circle when you're left there by yourself. And it was really sad for me. I felt that, please include me. Please, I've been your friend. Why are you leaving me out of this? And
did you ever try to communicate that? Yes. Or maybe there was an expectation for you from them to recognize that they needed to include you?
Oh, before, it was more of expectation. Mm. I feel like it was an unwritten rule. If one of you had gone instead of Maggie, I feel like we would have accommodated you.
Yeah.
So I expected them to do the same thing for me. Since Maggie has left, could you please accommodate me since we have been friends and we have been riding together? But unfortunately, maybe that was not what was in their head or something. Or maybe they wanted me to communicate it better in a statement. But eventually we did talk about it. I told them, like, whatever you people are doing is not cool. Since Maggie left, you have really been really hard on me. You're not showing up. I'm expecting you to be the friends that we were and everything. They said that they are sorry about it and we can really work things out together. But things never worked out as the way they should have. It was really a difficult moment because this was the time you are finishing uni and you thought you had found friends, but now you are at fourth year. You have no friends. The people you thought are your friends are no longer there. And it was a really bad thing for me. I felt really sad. And now even trying to work things with them, it was also difficult. I remember the thing that put the last nail on the coffin was a time when my dad was sick and it was along the time I was having a birthday. We had planned a birthday with him and now my dad got ill and when the plans were underway. And I told them, since my dad is ill, we should postpone this. Then for them, they're like, we have already booked the place, we have already organized something. Can you just spare a few moments and just come so that our money doesn't get lost? But it was, for me, it was different. I feel like my dad is sick. You people should be understanding. Especially when you have one parent, when the parent is sick, you really get scared because you don't want to go about what you had gone through before. And it was really bad and I felt that these people are not understanding where I'm coming from. They have their parents, both of them. This is my dad who is sick. I cannot be leaving my dad who is sick to go for a birthday. That cannot add up in my head. So after that I realized, well, these are different people from me and I don't think I want to carry that energy with me. So I decided to let the friendship die a natural death. We never called each other and say that, hi, this friendship is done, but we just let it be. Yes, and that's how we arrived for us not being friends till to date. We do talk, we do see each other's statuses and all, but we are not as close as we used to be. things changed.
Where are you now in regards to those connections? And maybe have you found a new group of friends, a new community?
I am now. I'm really proud of myself. I'm really happy because after that, one thing that people don't talk about is friendship breakups.
That's very true. We don't actually, you know how you've said it dies a died a natural death?
Yes.
That's happened to me as well, where I've probably only had two friendship breakups in my life, one more recent, but both of them, it's one of those things where it's like there's no conversation about a breakup. It's just something happens and then slowly we stop talking and we leave it. So I wouldn't even know how to navigate that. Like, can we talk and discuss? You know, it's not like, because there are no rules around that, you know, for relationships, for romantic relationships. It's like, no, you have to meet. I mean, are we over? Are we still together? You know what I mean? Like, people need to know where they stand, kind of thing. But with friendships, there's no those like unwritten rules or rules, those social norms.
Yes, I do agree with you on that. And I feel as I will continue with who I am, I'll tell you how I've adjusted to that. But I want to talk about friendship breakups. No one talks about them because people think that they're your friends. If you stop talking, it's okay and you stop being friends. But if you hold some people dear into your heart and they disappear on you, it really hurts because you cannot tell another person that you have broken up with your friends. Where do you start? Will you go about mouthing your friends? Will you just go for therapy or what? How will you navigate that? And I remember that hurt more than a relationship breakup. Because when you have a relationship breakup, you run to your friends and tell them, this guy did this and that to me. And they'll tell you, the guy is bad. He never did this to you. He never did that to you. And they'll try to console you on why you deserve better. But when you lose friends who you have shared a lot of things, you cannot just go ranting that we have broken up with Linda, I've broken up with Ruth. You cannot go saying that. It's something you sit with yourself. That friendship breakup really hurt me. And I decided that the next time I try to make friendship, I will try to have a governed rule, a governed friendship. Just like we ask someone, will you be my boyfriend? Will you be my girlfriend? I decided to have a conscious friendship. Whereby, okay, if I want to be your friend, in as much as friendship occur naturally, I want when things start to appear like we have chemistry and we can be friends, I want us to talk, okay, can you be my friend? What are your boundaries? I want us to have a conscious friendship knowing that this thing, we are trying to work a thing together. Let us not just assume things because in the first friendship, we assumed a lot of things. We never talked about what are your boundaries, what do you prefer, how are you, and things of that sort. We let things flow with nature, of which I think that is what really led us to breaking up.
Okay, and how is that working for you? I've actually never thought about doing that. When I meet friends, it's like this chemistry. We either move or we don't. Because the pressure for friendships is not the same for me anyway as romantic relationships. I wouldn't know how to navigate that. Is this something that you're able to practice?
Yeah, it's the same as what you've said. We meet today, we feel like there's chemistry. We meet again, there's chemistry. On that try, we're like, oh, that's a very good person. We can be friends with him.
And then you have a discussion about friendship?
Yes, I try to have a discussion about friendship. In as much as people say that it is weird, I feel that I've had a friendship breakup that really hurt me a lot to the point that I want to be conscious.
Yes.
It's not that I want to bind you by rules or regulation on what will govern friendship. I just want to be conscious that you're my friend. Because, Julia, I can be your friend, but you can be my friend. But for you, maybe I'm not your friend.
Oh, my God. That's so true. Yeah.
I might be thinking like you're rolling so well with
you.
And probably, for you, you don't see that. You're like, she's an ick to me. Probably.
And you know, with friends, we tolerate you know what? You're very right. Because I know there's situations where, like my most recent friendship breakup, I feel like maybe I was a friend to them, but they were not a friend to me, but I thought we were friends. And that's a good point. But I've also been in a situation where I know I don't really like this person as my friend, but because friendships, it's not an everyday thing. We don't have to sleep in the same bed or go for the same movie, you know, like in a romantic relationship. So I'll tolerate you, even though I know we don't have the same values and I'd never have you as a friend. So maybe on your end, you think we're cool, because I'm very, you know, I'm sociable. I'll smile with you. We'll laugh, but I'm like, I don't fucks with you. Yeah.
So for me, the first aspect that this is Nairobi, whereby you might be a friend to a person and maybe they're not your friend or vice versa. So I decided to be conscious. If I want to be a friend with you, Julia, I'll be like, after we have met severally, I would like, I want to be your friend. Do you want to be my friend? Just that we are not asking about what your expectations on this friendship or something. It's where I'm making a conscious effort to know that, yes, she's my friend. And I can say that she's my friend. And now you'll have the unwritten laws of society governing the friendship. And so far, so good. I think the few friends that I've made from then have really shown me that asking people to be your friend is a really nice thing. You just don't assume people are your friends because you will always get hurt. Also, when I'm asking people about my friend, if you want to be my friend, we even talk about boundaries. What do you hold as your values? What do you think is your virtues and what are you as a person?
Interesting. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to ask you a little bit more because I want to adopt this into my life. So when you ask somebody, if I asked you, what are your boundaries? What would you respond? Can you give me one or two, like an example?
For example, I can tell you, I really don't want to, one of my boundaries, I don't want to talk about my man in a negative manner.
Your man?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. You cannot be coming to ask me like, he's bad, let's make him look as bad as we want to.
Mm.
I don't want that. Another boundary that I have about friendship is that we really need to, about getting used to each other, we need to establish, like, in as much as tunazoeana, we need to put a boundary to this. When I talk about boundaries, it's not that it's a big thing, like, don't overstep me on this point, or don't do this, don't do that. It's a point of whereby we're establishing who our friendship is and what are the rules that govern the friendship.
Mm.
It's not that I want to govern it. I'm just trying to cover myself.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really nice thing.
I think so too.
I also, after breaking up with my friends, I really did a lot of self-therapy, listening to podcasts, listening to preaching, sermons and everything, trying to find myself. Because you have lost a big part of you. How will you get through it? You just can't go carrying your emotional issues to the next person. Because I feel that's the thing that with friendship, sometimes you might make a new friend whereby she comes with so much baggage into your life that it starts derailing you. I never wanted to be that person. And that has really worked well because I currently have a best friend. We have been friends for over almost 2 years now after that. And it has been really good. One thing that we have done is conscious friendship. We are trying to be conscious about each other. We talk every day. We don't talk about maybe long things. It's always, hi, how are you doing? And how was your day? And it's over. Just trying to check up on each other, trying to keep tabs on each other. We do challenges together. We do journaling challenges together. This month of April, we are doing about this, and this is what we are focusing on. So journal, write your mind, try to do something else. Also in friendship, I decided that let's try doing the positive things. In as much as drinking is nice,
yeah,
and going to parties is nice.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can we try to do positive things in our lives that will help us? Okay, this is like we'll have cookouts, whoever will come for, they'll come to my place, we cook, watch a movie, talk about different stuff. So we still party, we still go out, but we're trying to be conscious on things that put us together. Because if we keep running to go and party, when will we know about each other?
True.
When will I know you're going through something?
100% agree.
And also, on the phone, you cannot talk about everything. Sometimes you need to see your friend to know if she's okay. A week ago, I had a fight with my best friend. She said that she sent me a message, and I was not as happy as she expected me to be happy about the message. And I was really sad about that, but I really felt nice because she was really like, okay, you're my best friend. I should be telling you this. You should be happy for me. She said that I'm really close to her when she's going through so much, but when she's happy, she felt like I was not there. But I felt like she talked out. She spoke out, and I was like, that was really nice because I knew that, like, I'm there for you when you're really sad, but even when you're happy, I need to be over there for you and be overjoyous about that. And that really changed my perspective about, like, it's not, you should not always be there for a person when they are really sad. Even when they are happy, be as happy as you can be. Show them that you are as happy as you can be. And another thing that I've learned from my friendship breakup, that just like a young love that hurts and you'll always remember about it, it's the same thing. There are days I miss my friends, the Ruth and Linda. The days I want to call them and realize that maybe it's not worth it. Should I just go back to where we were? Should I just relive where we were? When I think about that emotionally, no, I don't think I want to go back to that.
Do they ever reach out to you, Ruth and Linda?
We tell each other happy birthday. Yes,
we do. Are they still best friends?
Yes, they are. Mm. And that hurts. They should have broken up.
That's your ego talking, but yeah, yeah.
That's what I feel.
Yeah.
But I've done a conscious effort. I've unfollowed them on Instagram.
Yeah, that's good. So you're not triggered.
Yeah, so that I'm not triggered seeing them together or something. So I just remain that I'm going to see you on your WhatsApp status. And even on your WhatsApp status, I've muted you. I want to choose to see what you're posting so that I'm not triggered by whatever maybe you're doing together. You need to choose people who choose you, people who want to ride with you. Because probably you will be going through some stuff and they're not going through the same thing. But are they willing to come through for you? You need to understand people. This probably, I take it as my fault. Maybe I never understood them from what they regarded as friendship, from what they wanted as mourning. And today, I'm always trying to understand people. Okay, why are you at this point? Why are you saying this? And where are you coming from?
All right, Alison. So you're still a very young girl. You have your whole 20s ahead of you.
Sure.
Yeah. What is it like now with your new friend? And or friends?
Right now, it's really different from what I thought was friendship. What was friendship? As I told you that this time I'm making conscious friendship. I want you to be my friend, not because by default, but because I'm making an effort towards that. I have made several friends from where I am at life right now in school and also outside school. And I feel so good about it. I'm so happy. Because with these friends, it's totally different. It's not what it was. It is, I'm consciously checking up on you. I want to know how you're doing. In as much as maybe that's how friends do, I want to be there for you in case you're going through anything. It is possible to love someone. I was even questioning myself, can your soulmate be your best friend? Because you can love someone so much, not because of what they offer, but because of who they are to your life. What have they brought to your life? You know, the way we talk about the five languages of love.
Yeah.
That most of the time you practice it in a romantic relationship. You want a man to do this for you. But with my new friend, I find that we even ask about each other. We did a question, you know, that quiz about which is your five languages of love and how do you think as a friend I should do this for you? And that was really nice because I thought that her love language was acts of service, but yet it was affirmations. She wants to be told, like, I love you, you're my friend, and everything.
Do they have a test for friendship?
They don't have
love languages for friendship, or it's just a general love language?
We did the general one.
Okay, okay.
But now we've decided to bring it down, yes. Narrow it down to friendship. Okay, this is what you want. And how can I express that to you? How can you give that to me?
That's probably why when you did not react the way she wanted you to react, she felt a certain way because you did not affirm her experience.
Damn it. Yes, that's the answer.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Yeah, that's it. So words of affirmation is, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. I'm so happy for you. You're looking good. Oh, you look great today. You did good. Babe, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. I'm here for you. Da, 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 da. That's words of affirmation. Or I love you. Like in romantic relationships, the constant I love yous, the constant checking in. Yeah. So you probably need to do a little bit more research on how to give words of affirmation so that you can be there for your friend.
Yes, that's true. You know, the other thing that about words of affirmation you were talking with her is that most of the time people want to love each other on the way that I think it's best. But you should love the other person on how they think it's best because that's how they feel.
Loved, yeah.
And now with my best friend, I thought that acts of service was how she wanted to be loved. But now I learned that she wants to be affirmed, of which it's a process that I'm still going through. Now I want to be her best hype man. I want to tell her that you're doing good. You got this. You're getting there. Yeah. But slowly but surely, we are doing that.
Yeah. I would assume it's different with friendships, though. Because for me, my primary love language is physical touch.
You cannot be touching your friends.
I think it would be weird as hell for my friend and me to be cuddling. Like, that's weird. No, don't do that. But I'm very big on words of affirmation with friends.
Yes.
Because my two primary love languages are physical touch and words of affirmation. So I think I would say words of affirmation and quality time. Oh, yes. With friends, definitely quality time. And not party time all the time.
You just need to sit down and read together.
Yeah, let's just chill. Let's watch a movie. Like watch a movie, buy pizza, you know, that kind of. Okay. I'm learning a lot about myself with this episode, Alison. Thank you.
Yeah, so the main reason why I was talking about friends and learning how to love them is because most of the time you realize that you expect so much of your from your friends, or they expect so much that you cannot be able to deliver because you don't understand how they want it, or they don't understand how you want it. Like in my friendship breakup, maybe I wanted them to hold me, come cry with me because I'm grieving for a loss of a friend, and maybe to them they never understood that. Maybe if I communicated that and they didn't understand it, they would give it back to me. Maybe if they told me what they wanted, I could have given it back to them. Yes, that's where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you would say you contributed to the breakdown of that friendship?
Yes, I think my biggest contribution was communication. There was a lot of gray lines on. I'm assuming that since you're my friends, you will be there for me. Since you're my friends, you should show up for me. But I think if I communicated more, tell them, this is what I want. I'm thinking of this. This is where I am at. We would have mended our relationship together.
What kind of advice would you give to somebody who is in a position where they want to make new friends?
Be conscious about it. That's why I ask people if they want to be my friend. That's why I do that. Because with this new generation of social media, a lot of media being there, you find that you even don't know who is your real friend. Because maybe I'm talking to you because I'm bored. Or maybe even if you come hang out with me, you'll always be on your phone. Can we be conscious about it? Can we make time about it? Such that you first know, just as default friends, we have chemistry. You cannot be asking everyone, do you want to be my friend?
Yeah, that's weird.
You have to establish if there's chemistry, maybe after 3 to 5 times of meeting, maybe you can decide like to ask them, do you want to be my friend? Do you want to make friends? And one thing that I've really realized is that people out here wants to make friends. I have met a lot of people who are like, I just want to make friends. Yes.
Do you think we should normalize the question, do you want to be my friend?
Yes, I do. Because one thing that I told you, I might think you're my friend, but maybe you don't think I'm your friend. And knowing that will save you from a lot of heartache and a lot of disappointment, because you may think that I'm your friend, you invite me for your party, but I don't think you're my friend, so I don't even show up. And as much as it seems like it's a big question, just take it easy.
Oh, wow. Okay, Ashley, thank you so much for sharing this amazing, amazing, amazing story with us. I feel like I've learned a lot. I think for me, I do take it for granted that my default friends became kind of my lifelong friends. But even as we are growing older, I feel like we continue to change and evolve. And, you know, sometimes the needs that I have cannot be met by my regular group of friends. Like maybe I want a group of friends that we work out with, and you know, my girls at the moment, that's not the space they are in. I really appreciate this podcast, and I'm sorry for your loss with Maggie, your best friend.
Okay.
And I'm happy that you at least have a reference point for a best friend like Maggie. There's people out here who've never actually had that kind of sisterhood, that kind of very close friend, somebody you can say, I love like my sister. It's actually quite rare. A lot of people out here call each other best friends. This is my gang, this is my clique. But you realize when things are going tough, those are not the people you call. You'll call your cousin, you'll call your, you know what I mean? So for me, I think the true test for friendship for me has been the older I've gotten, we now start to do real life. When you're in school and your parents are sending you money for pocket money and for whatever, you're not in real life. When you start getting older and you start making your own money and you start getting into real adult life problems and, you know, also like health problems, the older we're getting, you know, somebody has an issue maybe trying to get pregnant or, you know, lifelong diseases are starting to now check in into our lives in our 30s. We start to see, oh, these are the people I can bank on. And I think friendship is a conversation we don't have enough of because we leave it to nature. We leave it to, like you said, default.
Julia, do you think that we should be asking people, do you want to be my friend?
Yeah, so I think hearing you talk about what you're talking about, I think we should normalize it, but I think we also kind of need to figure out how to, because I can imagine if I meet somebody who I really, we're vibing and there's chemistry, and then I ask them, do you want to be my friend? I feel like they'll be like, I see, we're already friends. We're still kind of getting to know each other. So it feels like now when I ask them, do you want to be my friend? There's now an expectation and a pressure I'm putting on them that they need to do this ABCD for me. So now, because had I not asked that question, we are not friends. You know what I mean? But I still feel like even if it's not asking the question, should we be friends? Perhaps there needs to be a something that unlocks the next level of friendship rather than acquaintance. I think we have a lot of acquaintances that we call friends.
Yes, and that's why I ask people, do you want to be my friend? When we are past the acquaintance stage.
Yes. I think people can be acquaintances for years.
Sure.
You can be drinking buddies for years, and then once in a while you open up about a certain issue. But me, I'm telling you, when things are bad, like, you know, you have a parent who is ailing, or maybe you even have an ailment of your own, or you're going through such a bad, let's say, depressive episode that's embarrassing to share or whatever. The people who you think are your friends, those outer, like the inner circle, like that's when you know who your friends are. I think that's what I'm going to say.
In as much as we see asking someone, do you want to be my friend, puts a lot of pressure, I think I should change that statement and get a better statement of trying to differentiate who is your friend and who is your acquaintance.
Yeah.
Because you'll be backing on someone who probably doesn't see it that way.
And let's also remember, there are some people who actually don't know how to be friends. They are happy to live in the acquaintance level. I think, you know what? I think there's a lot of exploration that needs to be done here in terms of who I call my friend and how I get to a place where I can say you're my friend, because I've never asked somebody to be my friend. But it's like there's just something symbiotic of sorts that happens in both our minds where we know we are friends and we've locked this thing. But you know what? You can be somebody's friend. You think somebody's your friend, but it's not reciprocated and you have certain expectations of the friendship and you have not communicated them. My gosh, I've actually never thought about this.
Plus, I discuss this out with people, even when I'm out there. I always tell people, when I want to make a friend, I will ask you, do you want to be my friend?
Okay, and are you open to the fact that some friendships will come to an end, even though you've protected, quote-unquote, protected yourself?
Yes, I do. And I believe that we will get to different levels in life. And maybe, as you had said, adulting when it comes, maybe there's different, you're earning different amount of money.
Oh, that for sure can change a friendship, I can tell you that.
Maybe you have family and everything, and I do believe at some point you'll have to die a natural death, because maybe you're not on the same page, or maybe on the things that I do stand for, you have changed. We don't no longer stand for the same thing.
But wouldn't it be great if we were able to create this kind of systems that we've done for romantic relationships? Like if a friendship feels like it's, you know, for example, let's say we're earning different. So I'm living a different lifestyle. I'm like, oh my God, let's go eat at, Mercado. And you're like, hey, I don't have budget. Oh. So I keep inviting you for these things that you can't afford. And so, you know, our friendship tends to suffer. What happens is that we just leave those things.
Sure.
But wouldn't it be great if we're able to be like, babe, let's talk about our friendship. And it's like, yeah, let's talk about what we're going through so that I can tell you I can't live the way you're living because I'm just not there financially at the moment. So can we kind of discuss what our friendship is going to look like in the future? I'm going to respect the fact that you're going to be, you know, going to Dubai to dance on a yacht with a thong, like they say. But like, I think it would be great if we're able to have those kind of discussions about friendships, you know.
We are always leaving it to default, like, okay, Julia is my friend, she has called me out to go out for pizza.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't have the money for pizza, but since you're my friend,
I'll go. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
You're welcome.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, and consider supporting us via our Till number or PayPal. All the details are in the show notes of this episode and on our Instagram page bio at sothisislove_podcast. Your contribution will help us keep going. If you would like to be a part of this podcast, you can also reach out to us via direct message on our Instagram page. So This Is Love is edited by me, your host, and is recorded at the Creative Caravan. This is Jules. See you next time.